Lord God, today we give you thanks for all the blessings you have given to us. And we give special thanks for all the women in each of our lives. Amen. Please be seated. So I was trying to figure out how I was going to incorporate today's readings and Mother's Day, or otherwise known as Women's Day, into one sermon that would not be overly long or overly wrong. There was a meme on Facebook this week about a male preacher on Mother's Day, and there are two captions. One was a woman saying to the preacher, "How dare you fail to preach about Mother's Day? How could you be so heartless?" The second caption is a man saying to the preacher, "What were you thinking preaching about Mother's Day? Since when does Hallmark guide the lectionary?" So I decided to do both, but not two separate sermons. Preach about the readings and speak about Mother's Day. So what is a shepherd? Definition, according to my Bible dictionary, says one employed in tending, feeding, and guarding the sheep. Abel, Rachel, and David were all keepers of sheep. The shepherd's equipment consisted of a bag made of goat's skin with legs tied, and with which food and other articles were placed. A sling for protection against wild animals. A rod or stick with a knob on one end. A staff, usually with a crook on one end. A flute made of reeds for entertainment and for calming the sheep. And a cloak to use as bedding at night. The sheep would soon learn to recognize the voice of their master. So verse 27 and 28 in the gospel reading today. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. To me, these two verses bring a lot of comfort and a sense of peace. Just to think that we can actually hear the voice of the shepherd. The key, though, is to be quiet, to be calm, and to be still long enough to be able to hear that soft and calming voice that will lead us to him. Often in my ministry of palliative care, I use that verse as someone is preparing to be received into God's loving arms. I read that scripture passage, then tell the person to listen for the voice of Jesus. And when they hear his voice, to walk towards him, where God will be waiting with open arms to welcome them into the kingdom of heaven. No matter if we have strayed away from God, he will still call us home. No one can take us away from God's love. As long as we believe, we are part of the flock, and the shepherd will not let us stray too far away from him. But since we have been given free will, some will see how far they can walk away. But as long as we listen for his voice, he will keep us safe and bring us back to the flock. We also need to talk to God. We need to pray, and our prayers can be directed to God by many names. God, Jesus, Lord, gracious God, loving Father, Messiah, Holy One. How do you talk to God? For me, it depends on the situation. If I'm praying with and for you, I may start my prayer with, "Lord, I'm speaking to you today on behalf of," and then continue with my prayer. But if I'm called to the hospital, it's different. It's more like, "Okay, God, it's you and me. We're on our way to the hospital." And then I tell God what I know and what I need him to help me with when we get there. And names are often terms of endearment, such as Daddy, Mummy, Papa, Nana, or short forms, as we call our granddaughters, Chris for Krissa and Ken for Kendra. Names sometimes establish authority. The name of God or Jesus has an authority about it, where every knee shall bend and bow down in his name. Names help us identify our relationship with others, doctors, nurses, teachers, mummies, daddies. Some people get caught up on formalities, though, on titles and authority. But God just wants to hear your voice. God just wants your prayers. And he wants you to be able to hear his voice also. As long as you're talking to God and listening to the shepherd, it doesn't have to be formal. God just wants to hear you speak to him. So just talk to him from your heart, like you would a good friend. Jesus says to the Jews, "I have told you, but you do not believe." We need to wonder, do they not believe because they don't belong to the flock? Do they not have that same relationship with Jesus as the believers do? Do they not hear Christ's voice and know his authority? Jesus knows each one of his flock. He knows each one of us, and he loves each one of us. And this relationship is about God's love for us and our love for God. This relationship is about how we treat others, as in the second greatest commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. When you think that God can't hear your prayers, or when you feel there's no hope left, God reaches down and says, take my hand and let me lead the way. Be still and know that we can do this together. Lord, when my heart is heavy, I turn to you. When I'm feeling all alone, I turn to you. When I'm feeling sad, I turn to you. In your amazing ways, you lift my spirit and give me new hope for the day. As we raise our children, whether they're our own children, nieces and nephews, or children we teach in some other way, what we want to instill in them is for them to make good choices, to make the right choices, choices that will keep them safe from harm and lead them to a good way of life. We help them to hear the voice of the shepherd. And how do we do that? We do it by role modeling our own behaviors, making sure that we try to do what is right. We show our children how to help take care of others, to be kind to people and to animals, to treat everyone with respect and not fall into bad behaviors. We teach them to give to others and to share what they have. We help our children learn how to be grateful for what they have, as many have less. We hope that the children in our lives, who we have influence over, will hear our voice and follow our behaviors. Just as we slow down and hear the voice of Jesus leading us on the right paths of doing what is right and good in his sight. If we lead the children in the right ways, they in turn will be able to hear the voice of the shepherd leading them in his ways, to make good choices, to be responsible and caring children who will continue to grow and follow his path. Unbelievers will say, unless we actually see God, we cannot believe. Just like Thomas, they can't believe that Christ was who he actually said he was. There are times when this comes up that I will say to people, can you see the wind? Can you actually see the wind? No, we can't. We can't, but we can see what the wind does. We see how the wind blows the leaves on the trees. We see how the wind blows our hair. We can feel how the wind blows on our faces on a cold or a warm, windy day. We can hear the wind howl on those stormy days or nights. As much as we can't see the wind, we can see what the wind does. We can see the effects the wind has on us. We see how the wind is mild or strong, depending on the weather system. So just as much as we can't actually see God, we can definitely see what God does. We can see how God works. We can see how the love of God works. Just think when a tiny baby is born and that baby is ill. The nurse will lay that baby on the chest of the mother, and the baby will thrive. The baby knows and feels that unconditional love, the warmth and the safety of being with the mother, where the child was formed inside of her. We also hear the voice of Jesus by doing good works in his name. He calls us his sheep, and we stop and we hear his call. We respond. He calls us to take care of the vulnerable, and by our outreach, we do exactly that. We hear his voice and we share what we have. We give coats and socks to warm the homeless. We provide food for the hungry. We give clothes away to the poor. We make prayer quilts and cancer turbans for the sick. All these things we do because we hear his voice. And we never underestimate the power of prayer. Because the sheep are known to the shepherd, and the shepherd is known to the sheep, they trust him and follow him wherever he leads. All we need to do is to be quiet long enough to listen, to be able to hear his voice. Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to die for us. Isn't that just the same as we would do for our children? Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Just as the shepherd protects his sheep, Jesus protects his people from eternal harm. We do expect that we will suffer at times here on earth, but if we choose to follow Jesus, he will give us everlasting safety. He will give us unconditional love. And today is Mother's Day, or as I like to refer to it as Women's Day. Not all women are mothers in the sense of giving birth. Yet most women have those same nurturing qualities such as compassion, caring, empathy, and intuition. Women know. They just know. Even if they didn't know, they would know. Men might not get this, but women will, because they know. Children hear the voice of their caregiver, and hopefully they follow what they hear. Mothers and caregivers tend to know when their little lambs are straying and getting into trouble, and they call them back. Call it women's intuition. We just know. I have a friend who I don't see that often, but she just seems to know when I need prayers. And she will message me and tell me that she has just prayed for me and ask if I'm okay. I will message her back and tell her how timely her prayers are, as yes, I'm in need of prayers that day. She just seems to know. Women rely on friends. That's where we draw sustenance and find safety. We can count on our women friends when we need a good laugh or a good cry. Women's friendships are like a renewable source of power and energy. There's nothing more fierce than a woman when her child is hurt or being bullied. As they say, don't mess with Mama Bear. Motherhood is a choice you make every day to put someone else's happiness and well-being ahead of your own, to teach the hard lessons to do the right thing, even when you're not sure what the right thing is, and to forgive yourself over and over again for doing everything wrong, or so your child may think everything you've done is wrong. I will always remember the first time I was told that I was the meanest mother in the whole world. And I think it was for saying no to something, but I forget what that was. But I do remember how that hurt, but I still said no. Then when my daughter had children and the teenage years arrived, I will always remember getting a text message from her saying, "Mom, I'm sorry for everything I ever did to you as a teenager." At which I laughed out loud, then text her back with, "This too shall pass. Would you like to come over for tea and chat?" Since it is Women's Day, I wanted to give you something that pertains to us as women. I found this myth called When God Created Woman. I'd like to share it with you. When God created woman, he was working late on the sixth day. An angel came by and asked, "Why spend so much time on her?" The Lord answered, "Have you seen all the specifications I have to meet to shape her? She must function in all kinds of situations, cure herself when sick, and have the ability to work 18 hours a day. She must be able to embrace several kids at the same time, have a hug that can heal anything from a bruised knee to a broken heart. And she must do all this with only two hands." The angel was impressed. Just two hands, impossible. And this is the standard model? The angel came closer and touched the woman. "But you have made her so soft, Lord." "She is soft," said the Lord. "But I have made her strong. You can't imagine what she can endure and overcome." "Can she think?" the angel asked. The Lord answered, "Not only can she think, she can also reason and negotiate." The angel touched her cheeks. "Lord, it seems this creation is leaking. You have put too many burdens on her." "She is not leaking. It is a tear," the Lord corrected the angel. "What is it for?" asked the angel. The Lord said, "Tears are her way of expressing her grief, her doubts, her love, her loneliness, her suffering, and her pride." This made a big impression on the angel. "Lord, you are a genius. You've thought of everything. A woman is indeed marvelous." The Lord agreed, "Truly she is. She has strength that amazes a man. She can handle trouble and carry heavy burdens. She holds happiness, love, and opinions. She smiles when she feels like screaming. She sings when she feels like crying. Cries when she's happy and laughs when she's afraid. She fights for what she believes in. Her love is unconditional. Her heart is broken when a next of kin or a friend dies. But she finds the strength to get on with life. The angel asked, "So she is a perfect being?" The Lord replies, "No, she has just one drawback. She often forgets what she is worth." God created woman as a beautiful tapestry of intense feelings and emotions. She has within her an immense, inconceivable, and extraordinary power to radiate and nurture love. She has an incredible and miraculous power to heal with the warmth and aura of her multidimensional energy. Nobody hides pain better than a woman who's trying to remain strong for others. A woman is always there, in the good times and the bad, ready to lend an ear to listen, a shoulder to cry on, an arm to lean on. She will laugh with you or cry with you, all depending on what you need. A woman or a mother will embrace you and hold you in her arms until you're ready to let go of your hurt. These are gifts that God has given to us. So, Lord, your gentleness of spirit and kind words soothe the troubled soul. May we always hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him. Creator God, bless my eyes that I may see with love. Bless my mouth that I may speak with love. Bless my heart that I may give and receive love. Bless my hands that all I touch feels loved. Amen.